I'm not a professional speaker. I'm just a mother, and I have two sons, and they're both in the military. My 19-year-old son, Robert, is a Marine, and then I have a 20-year-old son, Justin, and he's with the Army, and he's with a support unit for the 1st Armored Division, and he's in Iraq. And he's been in Iraq since the last week of April. And, you know, when he first joined the Army, I wasn't really happy about it, but I supported him. I supported our government. I supported my president. I really thought, well, you know, I'm not very political. Maybe they know what's best. First week Justin was over there, I get a phone call. And he just didn't sound himself, and it wasn't him just getting used to the country. It wasn't just him being homesick. Something was the matter. And he's a mechanic, and he rides the Humvees through and around Baghdad. And the first thing that happened to him was he said two soldiers in his unit committed suicide. Well, you know, at the time on the news, you were not hearing anything, you know, at all. You know, nothing, you know, and I'm thinking, well, how can this be? This isn't what I'm hearing on the news, and this is what he's telling me. Well, you know, then about a month later, I get another phone call, and a young Iraqi, around 14, jumped on the windshield of his Humvee as he was driving it and pointed a rifle at him, and he had to kill him. And so here I'm thinking, is this 20-year-old son of mine that who was always really outgoing and such a positive young man. And I'm thinking, you know, the despair in his voice was so unbelievably terrible, just terrible. And so since that time, you know, we get phone calls and letters and nothing positive. Everything is, I'm sick, some more soldiers are getting killed. I have some pictures here he just sent me of the Humvees and the vehicles with bullet holes in them. He was ambushed his first month there. He was hit with a rocket grenade, you know, and just, I brought pictures. And, you know, and it wasn't until later, a month or two after he was there, that your little leaks from the news were coming out. And Justin kept telling me, things you're hearing on the news is nothing. It's small potatoes. It's nothing like what's really going on here. I don't think the numbers of deaths are correct. I think that the tallies and the numbers that we hear, I think it's more than that. I brought a letter of his, if it's okay that I read it. I just got it a week ago, and I think it just sort of sums up how we families are feeling. This is from my son. It says, Mom, I got your letter, your package today. This one took longer to find me because I've been on a lot of convoys and missions. I've been going place to place. I hate living out of a bag and on the go. Sometimes I wish I could stay put, but it's not an option. We still have soldiers dying all the time and many other close calls. Last week, the mail truck that travels everywhere to find us to deliver our mail and packages was attacked and the driver was killed. After it was all over, they loaded the mail into a different truck and the package you sent me on it was also loaded on. I'm holding it thinking, damn, somebody died just to deliver this package. I know you wonder all the time when I'll be showing up at your doorstep. I wonder too. It's so lonely and I have no life. I'm a soldier 24/7 with not very much rest. I still only get around 4 or 5 hours of sleep. The past month I've been sick twice. I had sand flea fever, and then I got sick from the drinking water. The sand flea fever made me feel like I wish I was dead. I miss you all. I wish I was home. Tell everybody hi. Please send me size 11 Adidas gym shoes. Love, Justin. So, I don't know. This is just a sample of what I get, and I haven't heard from him in a while. I was getting a few phone calls here and there. And, you know, I agree with Fran, you know, something needs to be done. I feel that, you know, the Iraqis, they do need help. They do need help rebuilding their country, but I think it's more political now, and it's not so much military. And these young soldiers, all the soldiers, I think they just sort of need to start pulling them out of there because they are getting killed. They're getting killed every day. Every day they're getting killed. And, you know, Justin broke his hand while he was over there. And, you know, he can't have any physical therapy or anything, so as his hand healed, now he can't make a fist. And, you know, what is going to happen when he comes back? What is it going to be like for him? And I do hear that, you know, a lot of the soldiers are now getting a 15-day leave where they fly into Baltimore and can come home. But how do they have time to get out of a situation like that, get home, adjust back for so many days, and then have to go back over there again? I don't see how that possibly can really help them. I mean, it's the mental anguish that I see with my son and with the families. I mean, my husband is devastated. I mean, we are so glad to get a phone call or a letter, but then at the same time, we're afraid to open up and read it because we don't know what we're going to hear, you know. And I don't know. I guess that's really all I have to say. I mean, it's just terrible for the families. It's just a poor situation that they're in. Justin's eating, you know, maybe a meal a day. I send food every week to him. I don't know what he gets and what he doesn't get, but, you know, he's lost weight. He's lost about, you know, 10 or 15 pounds, and he was a skinny boy to begin with. You know, they're just scared. They don't know. Justin said that every day, there's just like there's gangs there. They're getting shot at and targeted by gangs. And, you know, he's like, what's the purpose? They don't want us here. We are not wanted here. So...